Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Tammy Carver. Welcome to the John Carver Show. My husband has helped thousands of people around the world lead happier and more successful lives. Whether you're just beginning to lay your foundation or you've already built your life but need to shore up some weak spots, this show will help you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
There are things that don't correspond to reason. Have you ever been in that situation where it just doesn't make sense? It doesn't make sense to our reasoning, our intelligence. And we analyze things, especially people that are analytical. You know, they got an analytical mind. They got to have, a square root on everything. And sometimes it's just a matter of what I shared Friday night in our Bible class is one of the most important scripture verses that I got from the Lord when I was a young Christian is in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And verse 7 says, be not wise in your own eyes. So that kind of says something to the rest of it, doesn't it? So we need to realize there's things that God says to us that just doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense to make a witness to somebody. You say, they're too hard-hearted. They're too bad. Too nasty. But you know, God told us in his word, all we have to do is share our faith. And sharing our faith sometimes not the most easiest thing in the world to do, especially when somebody is argumentative. But you know what? God didn't tell us that we had to have an answer for everybody or argue with everybody. Matter of fact, he said not to argue with anybody. We need to learn to follow his instructions. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. And sometimes that's the hardest thing in the world to do. And I want to give you some examples from the Bible of people that I'm sure thought had some second thoughts. Jonah, for one, God said, go here, and he went there. he went the opposite direction because he thought he was smarter than God. Even at the end of the four chapters, Jonah's arguing with God, and he's trying to get his point across. You know, it's not your point, my point, or somebody else's point. It's what God says, and when you get into his word, you will realize that he knows a whole lot more about the tomorrow. He knows the beginning from the end. You can't say that. We can't even predict the weather correctly for 24 hours. So how in the world are we going to adjust our lives? Amen? So when we read the Word of God, we understand that there are some things that turn to Ezekiel. And I'm going to read from the Message Bible, 37. But it says in verse 1, God grabbed me. Have you ever? Now that's saying that God grabbed me. God's Spirit took me up and set me down in the middle of the open plains, strewn with bones. He led me around among them, a lot of bones. There were bones all over the place, plains, dry bones, bleached by the sun. He said to me, son of man, can these bones live? Have you ever had God ask you a question? You say, we're not in that category of prophet, and we don't hear like that. But you hear a lot of things. You get hunches in your gut. You get the Bible. You're reading it one day, hopefully every day, and all of a sudden you read something and it jumps off the page to you. Well, that's God speaking to you. Just like the men on the road to Emmaus. He said, did our hearts not burn within us when he expounded the word of God, the scriptures? So he said, son of man, can these bones live? I said, Master God, only you know that. He said to me, prophesy over these bones, dry bones. Listen to the message of God. God, the Master, told the dry bones, or watch this, I'm bringing the breath of life to you, and you'll come to life. I attach string to you and put meat on your bones, cover you with skin, breathe life into you, come alive, and you'll realize that I am God. I prophesied just as I was commanded. I want you to get that, because a lot of people don't understand verse 7. He says, I prophesied just as I was commanded. You know, if God tells us to do something, we want to add a little something to it. You know, I don't quite agree with that. I'm going to do, like Jonah. Yeah. Let's look at some people in the Bible that had some difficulty obeying God. Gideon, Judges 7. You know, here he's told to go down and do something, and he had to have all kind of signs, you know. Make it wet over here and dry over here, you know, and he's asking all kinds of, you know, things. And finally, he's going down there to fight against the enemies of Israel. And you guys know the story where, you know, he had, 32,000 men, and God said, you got too many. And then he gets down to 300, you know, and he's scratching his head. And finally, the Lord speaks to him in the middle of the night and says, if you're afraid to go down and fight, take your friend with you. You know, I mean, this guy's got a lot of baggage of fear and apprehension. But the Spirit of God directed you to say something, but yet you're fearful. You don't comprehend all that person may be in the eyes of God. You know, God told Samuel, you look on the outside, I look on the inside. You don't look like I would look on someone. I see the heart. And God wants you to realize that no matter how crazy it may be, just a little word of encouragement goes a long way. Ananias, he gets a message from God, and he says, I don't know about this God. You know, and you want to turn over to the 9th chapter of Acts. Let's take a look at that in the Message Bible, because I feel like that this is going to say something to some people that, you know, you'd be surprised how many Christians argue with the Spirit of God. Can I get an amen? I mean, you don't have to agree with me, but it's the truth. Starting with verse 13, he says, Ananias protested. And what did he protest? God told him to go down and see Saul of Tarsus. And let's listen to what this says. Ananias protested, Master, you can't be serious. In other words, are you kidding, God? Everybody's talking about this man and the terrible things he's been doing. His reign of terror against your people in Jerusalem, and how he shows up here, and now he shows up here with papers from the chief priests that give him a license to do the same to us. But the Master said, don't argue, go. I have picked him as my personal representative to non-Jewish and kings and Jews, and now I'm about to show him what he is for. The hard suffering that goes with this job. And Ananias went and found the house and placed his hands on blind Saul and said, Brother Saul, their master sent me, the same Jesus you saw on the way here. He sent me so you could see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. No sooner were the words out of his mouth than something like scales fell from Saul's eyes. He could see again. He got to his feet and was baptized and sat down with them to eat meat. Now look, folks, I'm sure Ananias thought, well, you know, I'm going to get killed. I'm going to get either that or I'm going to get thrown in jail, my family and everybody. And I like the way the Message Bible said it. He says, God said, don't argue with me. Have you given so many excuses why you can't do something? That was pretty good. I don't know if the mic will pick that up, but one of our members in the church said, yeah, you've been there. Now, there was a widow in 1 Kings 17, verses 10 through 16, and I've used this example several times, and I'm sure you've heard it, where the prophet Elijah came up to her, and he said, bake me a cake. She says, well, I'm just getting ready to make a little bit of food here for me and my son, and we're going to die. So we're talking about between hunger, starvation, and death, and some preacher comes by and said, give me an offering first. Have you ever been in a church service, especially evangelistic services, where the preacher's asking for an offering of sacrifice? Do you know what a sacrificial offering is? There's a little woman that threw in two mites in the Bible. That was, Jesus said, take note of her, because she gave all that she had. They gave of their substance, but, you know, what was left over, but she gave everything she had. Have you ever been in a position where you've given everything you have? R.W. Shambaugh was in Baltimore somewhere in 19, I don't know the exact date, but it was in the 70s, early 70s, 71, 72, something like that. And so we were at his meeting, and we were just closing the deal on this church. And we had to make sure that we made everything correctly and our bills and all that, and didn't have any stigmatism against us in any way. And I sure didn't want to look like I was negligent of not paying my bills, and which we've always been, thank God, able to do. And I said to myself, I said, Brother Shambaugh's taking off, and his tent had just blown down. And it was going to cost tens of thousands of dollars. And I said, wouldn't it be nice, God, if everybody here except me give a week's pay, they could buy that tent outright, because it was thousands of people there, you know. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, give a week's pay. I said, I'll give 20. So I put 20 in the offering. The Lord said, week's pay. And each time it got less and less loud. I don't know how to say this, but it became quieter, like a whisper almost. I ended up giving like $60 that night because I was trying to bargain with God. Anybody here bargain with God before? You're telling him why you can't do something. I'm saying, God, I've got a settlement next week. I can't give a week's pay. I ended up giving a week's pay after three tries to get out of it. Have you ever tried to get out of something? I know why you're laughing. Because we've all had a piece of that cake. It may not be in money. It might be just doing something, saying something. Oh, I'm just too busy to go down the street and say something to that person. Or maybe that loved one, you know, that you haven't seen for 25 years or something like that. You say, well, how in the world I go talk to them now? They think I want something. But you know what? When I finally gave in and gave what I was supposed to give, peace came, like it was unreal. I still had to worry about the settlement. Come to find out, I didn't even have to make that last payment on the house. And what a relief that was. The little woman says, I got to bake a cake, we're going to die. But if you say so, you're the prophet. And you know the story about her. Meal barrel didn't go empty. She always had everything. And that's provision. God makes provision when you don't see a way of having provision made for you. Been there so many times, but yet I still get in the same battle over provision. Why is it that we always go back to the analytical thinking? Why do we always go back questioning God about things? There was a widow who had debtors that were going to take her sons and sell into slavery. In 2 Kings chapter 4, 1 through 7. And she was all she had was a little oil. And she went to the prophet. And he says, what do you got in your house? And she says, just a little bit of oil. He says, go out and borrow all kind of vessels from your neighborhood and fill the vessels with oil. Pour. And I'm sure she must have been thinking, that fellow's lost his mind. He's eating some strange weed somewhere. He's smoking something. Can you imagine having a little bit of something and saying, go out and borrow these vessels? They're going to be filled. I mean, you got to put yourself in the driver's seat of some of these people in the Bible, because we just read it and it's just a dead letter to us. But I mean, put yourself in that situation to where you're stuck. She does what the man of God says, and she fills all the vessels, and she says, is there no more vessels? He says, no, there's no more vessels. So she was able to pay her debt off and do the thing. You know, there's a lot of people, and I have dealt with financial stewards that were in the church. And it takes faith. It really takes faith in trusting God to be a financial steward. Because sometimes God will ask you to give maybe what you really don't have. Just to step out on the water like Peter did. And that's how God dealt me about this church. Step out on the water. I said, whoa. I don't know if I want to do that or not. When nobody else believed in it. And there's a lot of people that still don't believe in this place. But you know what? God believes in it. It doesn't make any difference who does or who doesn't. When God believes in something for you to do, all you got to do is do it. For those who don't remember, there was a story that I also have a book that was given to me, I think on a Christmas or a Father's Day or birthday or something, about Sergeant York. And he was the most decorated soldier in World War I. And he was a conscientious objector, and finally he got into the war. He was drafted anyway. He couldn't get out of it. He was arguing one day about a piece of property. Can you ever talk to yourself? I'll say to Edna sometime, I say, what did you say? She says, I'm just talking to myself. And she says the same thing to me. You're talking out loud. And you're trying to resolve a problem. And so he put a down payment on a piece of property that he wanted. And he only had a certain amount of time to get it. And finally he's working in the middle of the night trying to do that. And he says, I can't do it. And it's in the mountains of Tennessee. And the echo came back, do it, do it, do it. He says, but I can't. I can't do it. And it comes back, do it. If you have never seen this movie, you've got to see it. It is awesome. Gary Cooper wasn't going to play in the movie until Sergeant York called him and asked him to do it. And it is it's pretty close to the facts. In John, the Gospel of John, in chapter 2 and verse 5, Jesus goes to a wedding and they run out of wine. And his mother said to him, they have run out of wine. In verse 5 it said, He says, my time's not come yet. You know, you're pushing me into this, you know, it's not time for me to do miracles yet. And she turns to the servants and says, whatever he says, do it. And I'd just like to put that in your vocabulary today. Do it. Whatever he says, do it. You might not agree with it, but if you do it, and you speak in the name of the Lord, that person that's so hard-hearted, only the Spirit of God can break that which is hard. The gospel message, the love of God, that God gave His Son to a dying world, a perverse world, a world that does some of the crazy things that we have seen in the news lately, and the terror that is out there that brings fear. But you know what? God can give you a heart like a lion. Said the wicked flee at every sound, but the righteous are as bold as lions. And when you stand your ground for the gospel's sake, for the salvation of people that otherwise, if they don't hear it from you and I, they'll never hear it. It's like Pastor said about people seeing the message on television and radio. They may never ever come into a church, but that message is going out from this pulpit, encouraging people with hope where there is no hope. I mean, when someone loses hope, that's a terrible thing, whether it's sickness or disease or financial depression. You know, there's amongst teenagers, there's more suicides now than ever we've ever had. And soldiers that are coming back from the war, you know, suicide because no hope. When I look at some of the pictures of some of these soldiers, we came out of some place the other day, or I held the door open for a wheelchair person, and their legs were just chewed. I thought, my God, look at it. I said, have mercy on him, Lord. He looks so bad, and he looks so bitter, and he looks so depressed, and looks so down. And you don't know what you would be like. You don't know what things would be like. And we always want to try to compare ourselves with other people who are going through difficulties. And Michelle texted her mom, I think it was, or emailed her mom and about that tragedy, the boy in Florida that the alligator grabbed, 2 years old, and how different people were criticizing the parents. And I said, you don't know. Why should you criticize someone when you have no idea what it was like, a dad walking on the shoreline, you know, in a couple inches of water? I've been where they're at. I know the terrain. I've been down there. I never did see an alligator. I never did see a snake down there. But one time I saw a snake. And you're just relaxing and walking and waiting, enjoying your children. My children swam in that same water. You just don't know. And that's why we shouldn't be judging people. Because with the judgment that you judge, you'll be judged. And having a heart, you know, I just said, I'm not going to touch that. I'm not going to dignify that with any kind of answer, saying the parents should have did this, the parents should have did that, you should have did this. Have you ever been in a place where you all of a sudden found yourself in the seat of the judge and you spontaneously said something, and as soon as you said it, it came back and bit you? You knew you shouldn't have said that. I was there one time working with a guy, his name was Brian. He was a barber, and I was a barber. And he was the meanest guy I think I ever met. I mean, he was just flat out mean. And one day I said, Brian, he did something to me that really angered me. And I said, Brian, I think there's no hope for somebody like you. And later on, he came in and he was talking to somebody and he said, John says there's no hope for me. You know what I did by saying that? I took all hope away from that man that might have had a spark of something down inside of him that God might be merciful to him. I still live with that. That I put a stumbling stone in front of him, and that taught me, leastwise I hope it taught me, something about putting a stumbling stone in front of somebody. Say, that's why I say to young people, you can be anything you want to be. You can achieve anything, even in this crazy world that we're living in America where there, you got to be politically correct. You can be anything you want to be. If you want to go somewhere or do something, I tell you what, I've been in foreign countries to where they stop you in different places when you cross the border, but you can drive all the way across this country from state to state, from north to south, from east to west, and nobody's going to stop you unless you're driving too fast. You know? And in some states, you can drive as fast as you want. They don't even have a, they don't have a sign up. You just drive. I saw a show on the Travel Channel. I like watching the Travel Channel. They got some good shows on there. And I was watching this guy, and he got a Porsche. He rented a Porsche. And he got on the Autobahn, and he punched that button that puts the some kind of carburetor or whatever, it made it go fast. And he had it up to 145 mile an hour. And I said, my goodness, you can't even see it 145 mile. You know, get out of the way, I'm coming, get out of the way, I'm coming. But he always wanted, that's something that he always wanted to do, was to get on the guy. He finally, he went for his money and got, you know. And the guy says, good Lord. And he had to be good in order to keep him alive during that expedition of being crazy. Yeah. I thought, one time I punched my car to do 100. And I thought, oh, and I dropped it down right away. You know, that thing shook all over. So did I. I don't know if the car was shaking because of me or no. But God, when we proclaim the Word of God, it quickens people. You don't have to have a long message. It can just be a word. I think one of the most powerful scriptures in the Bible is in John, where it said Jesus wept. He felt the pangs of death that touched the family of Lazarus. And what seemed impossible? Can you imagine the guys that he said to roll away the stone? I'm sure there's been stories, and you'll think, maybe you thought of a story that I haven't said today. Esther, boy, that's a good one. She could have been faced death right then and there. Esther. Read it. It's really interesting. Abraham. I think Esther 4:14 says, Mordecai said, who knows whether you've been called for the king and for such a time as this? And you don't know that. You might be just that person in somebody else's life that might make the difference between life and death, success or failure, salvation or hell. You just don't know. See, it's not up to you to make it happen. Dr. Ward, when he was here, one of the messages that he preached is that you don't have to do it. But in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, it talks about, and God will do it. You see, it's not up to you. All you got to do is follow the command. What did the prophet do? He had the divine command given to him. And the effect of it produced a miracle. You say they're dead in sin and they can't be saved. That's what I said to that guy in the barbershop. Who am I to judge whether somebody can be saved or not saved? Who are you to say this can't happen or that can't happen? Jesus said that he had to go through Samaria. It needs be that he goes through Samaria in order to talk to a person there. And nobody would talk to her, but Jesus talked to her. And the people that you think that maybe might be unsavable, that God can't reach down and touch them, you don't know. You don't know. Hey, God's, and Jeremiah talks about God's word. It's like a fire and a hammer that breaks the rock. He says, if you fall on this rock, it'll break you. But if this rock falls on you, it'll grind you to powder. And all you have to do, what seems impossible, I've been privileged, and I mean privileged, to work on the archive, and I have learned so much from it. It just staggers the mind. One of the things was about a little boy that was brought in that was had the lowest IQ that you could possibly get. And years later, after he had been prayed for, came back. And he was in school, taking regular classes, being educated. What's impossible with men is possible with God. And then what Peter asked, he says, God, we did this and we did that. How can we've given all this? And he says, Jesus, how hard it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle. Now that's an impossibility. Than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And Peter come up and give him all what he had did. And Jesus said, with man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. And I think so many times we're wrapped up with the prefix that the don'ts are impossible, that we don't realize that what are the possibilities with God. The possibilities of God are just so numerous, it's just you can't comprehend. The human mind cannot comprehend how great God is. What we call a miracle is just every day with God. Because we don't understand the majesty of God. We have a Father that knows our name. He's got our address. He knows where we're at. Have you ever had something happen and you realize it was just a sigh, that you kind of breathed out a sigh of want, and all of a sudden your Heavenly Father moved somehow and you got the thing that you wanted? And you thought, I wonder how that happened. Well, you see, you got to be like Jeremiah. You might not understand something until you obey. And Jeremiah in 18, he was told to go down to the potter's house. And there the word of the Lord came to him. You see, he had to obey first. And then he got the answer that he needed. And that's the way it is with you and I. It's until we obey, we won't see a lot of information and knowledge that God wants to give us. Look at Noah. Build a boat where there's no water. I mean, that you really got to be a lame brain to build a boat where there's no water. But he did what God told him to do. He did what God commanded him to do. Look at Peter. Go catch a fish. And in it, you open his mouth and there'll be a piece of gold. There are things that don't correspond to reasoning. If that's you out there, God, and it's not a booger man, tell me to come out on that water. I know as soon as I put my feet on that water that it'll hold me. That's you. Mm-hmm. And he did. and he was able to walk on water. How many people do things that we think that are so, they're so great? Oh, if I could just be like that person. You don't need to be anything like anybody else except Jesus. And you follow him and he'll give you what you need. There are things that just don't, I'm going to say this again, there are things that don't correspond to reasoning. I'm preaching a revival down in West Virginia, Burt Belt, Pastor Burt Belt. And so when the revival meeting's over and we're sitting around having some tea or soda or whatever it was, and all of a sudden, Pastor Belt says, John, I think I want to pray for you before you leave. I said, fine, you know. Well, he started praying and it broke out into a prayer service. I mean, it broke out to where I said, man, I got to get out of here if I'm going to get home anytime soon, you know, because it takes 3 to 4 or 5 hours to get home, depending upon the old Route 40, you're coming back. And they were just building Interstate 68. So between 70 and where I had to go in West Virginia, it was all two-lane highway, and it was horrible driving, especially at night and in the wintertime. So finally, when I take off and I get down the road and I'm driving, and all of a sudden, everything just got white. I mean, like, you can't see. I just drove right into a winter storm, and I'm in the mountains of West Virginia. You don't want to be in the mountains of West Virginia with a storm like that. It's, or fog, I mean, especially fog. I mean, it's unreal. But anyway, I made it through there, and I come up on 40, and there's a tractor, gas tank type tractor trailers. I don't know what he was carrying, but it went sideways in the road and they had the road blocked off. So I remembered, well, there's Route 215. It'll take me up to the Pennsylvania Turnpike and I'll come down and I'll bypass this thing. I'll have to go out of my way a little bit, but I'm not sitting here waiting. You know what I mean? I'm not the kind of person that sits and waits. Pastor was preaching last week about GPS and about it'll show you where the traffic's backed up and then you can go around some other place. Well, I didn't have a GPS. I just knew what the maps had said because I've taken every way that you could take to get because I had a lot of revivals down there. So I turn around, make a U-turn, and go back to 215 that I just passed off of 40. And I'm thinking that's the right route. And I went up. And I'm driving. I thought, well, you know, I can be home in about 3 hours. It's a little longer, but I'll be home about 3 hours. And I've been away for quite a while. And I'm driving up there, and boy, this gut hunch says, stop. Go back. It's open. And I'm driving a little more. Stop. Go back. And I'm driving a little more. Stop. Go back. So finally, I said, okay, I'll turn around and I'll go back. So I went and drove back. And I said, see, God, it's blocked. Nothing's moved. And about that time, you've heard this story before. About this time, a tractor and trailer pulled off and went down a little side road. And another car followed. And four other cars. And I was the fourth was the five vehicles. And so they're driving through these back things and these little bridges that I thought, I don't know how this tractor and trailer is going to make it. And one time he got out and started stomping on the bridge. And I said, oh, my goodness gracious. Even if he makes it across, he's going to fall down before I get across it, you know. And everybody else peeled off. And one of those vehicles had what they have an air or a glider. You ever see they're pulling a trailer that had a glider in it. And so finally, it was just me in the truck. And we came out on the other end. And I made it home in a decent hour. But sometimes when God says something, it doesn't always make sense. It doesn't make sense to turn around when you're heading in a certain direction. Doesn't make sense to do certain things. It doesn't make sense to give when you don't have enough money to pay your bills. But when God says give, He'll make a way. He'll do something to help you get through your situation. Now, thank God I didn't have to go meet a killer like Ananias did and give my last bit of food in order to feed some crazy preacher. Are you with me? How many has ever heard that message when they're taking an offering? They always bring about the widow and her meal barrel and not the wheelbarrow, but meal barrel. And they say, bake God a cake first, you know. Well, yeah, God is not interested in a meal cake. He's interested in our obedience. That's what He's interested in. He's interested in whether you obey. The greatest story of about a father that represents God our Father is Abraham obeying God and taking his son up to be sacrificed. And God called him his friend. Jesus says, if you obey my commandments, then you are my... He said, you've been my friend. You're his disciple. Yeah, but you're my friend. There's something about being a friend. You can always go to him no matter what. Not like the friend in the 11th chapter of St. Luke, to where he came, he says, I had a friend who came at midnight, he says, and I need some bread. And so he went to his neighbor's friend, and he knocked on the door. And Jesus says, even though he was his friend, he didn't get out of bed. But he got out of bed because of his importunity. And that's when Jesus said about us praying, that we shouldn't give up on the things that are needed, that we want, and the things that are happening in people's lives. Just because it doesn't make sense, just because it doesn't correspond to your reasoning, doesn't mean that God doesn't understand. You've got to get out of your channel of thinking and get the mind of Christ. Story keeps coming back to me, and I'm sure you've heard me say it, but it's worth repeating. The time I looked at my watch, not this watch, but I looked at my watch, and I'm driving out of Albuquerque, New Mexico. And as I'm driving out of Albuquerque, New Mexico, on the way, on doing what God told me to do. And I thought, how crazy this is. I said, I'm never going to make it on time. So I stopped at a gift place on the side of the road. They got them all the way down these interstates where you can get gifts. And I'm there looking for something for my children and my wife. And the Spirit of God quickens my heart, my spirit, and said, if you leave now, you can get there on time. I said, no, I can't. You know, I'm not going to be able to get there on time. If you've never had the Spirit of God talk to you, won't you be still long enough to let Him talk to you? And the Spirit of God spoke to my heart and said, it's over a 3-hour difference between Eastern Standard Time and Pacific Time. I think it was 4 hours at that time. I don't know what it is now. But it was up. So I had this window of opportunity to make it to this Bible school that I got there just in time to talk to these people. And I thought, wow. And then I was able to stay in their dormitory there in this Bible. And it was everything. And I said, I don't understand it. That's kind of like the way we are. We have adult temper tantrums. I don't want to do it. I don't want to go there. I want to be a Jonah. I don't want to be a Jonah. I want to be someone that will obey God. And my biggest problem is my own mind, whether I'm going to agree with it or not. And that's the trouble with sometimes getting people to agree in prayer with you, is because we're not agreeable people. You can't get people to agree on anything. Look at our Congress. They haven't agreed on anything in 40 years. Again, there are things that don't correspond to reasoning or intelligence or an analytical mind. Just do what Jesus said to do. Just do it.
Thank you for listening to The John Carver Show. Please tune in again right here Monday through Friday for more insights and opinions on how you can reach your goals and dreams in life.